Good morning to all who are with us this morning. Whether you're a weekly Zoomer or someone who's just joined us fresh or after a break, a very warm welcome to Sunday. If you can believe it, the last Sunday in July. I hope that this morning you can find a word or a thought that means something to you and that you feel that you have experienced some e-fellowship. And if that's not a word yet, it is now. Let's take a moment then, if we can. Take a moment to leave behind all that surrounds us at this time, to quieten our hearts and minds, to prepare for our service this morning. May the peace of Christ be with us all.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from the Psalms of David, Psalm 119, verses 73 to 80. Your hands made me and formed me, gave me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for the wronging me with cause. But I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be blameless towards your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. Let us join together as we sing our first hymn, Glory Be to God the Father.
Let us come together now, the prayers of adoration and confession. Let us all pray. Gracious, loving God, we come this day to worship and praise your holy name. We gather with thanksgiving on our lips and love in our hearts to sing to your glory, to be touched and inspired by your word, to dwell in your house in unity. Lord, forgive the times when we choose not to look out for those in need, not to look for glimpses of your glory, not to look for opportunities to share your good news with others. Forgive us, Lord. Open our eyes to you, O God. May your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, reinvigorate us. May we rub our eyes and focus on what you call us to do this day and every day. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our mouths, and open our minds, we pray. Living, breathing, creating God, your work in the world never stops. In every aspect of your life, your Spirit works with us as the energy that generates the potential and activity of your kingdom. The kingdom is real, it is here, and it is waiting to welcome all, for it is inclusive in its depth, it is for the whole of humanity. Lord, you're always trying to reveal yourself, teaching us of your kingdom, calling us to participate. Parables, conversations, shared journeys, fellowship round a table. You spoke to people and opened up the kingdom of God, its values shining through like sunlight, its vastness as deep as the oceans, its power to give life and grow whatever it touches. Nothing can compare to the value it brings to human life, a gift of your love for all people. But do we really see? Do we stop to listen, to watch, to absorb what you reveal? We are sometimes slow to adopt the values of the kingdom. We go for the quick fix, the instant hit, not recognizing that effort is needed to bring the constituent parts of life together in a way that satisfies the hunger, not just of some, but of all. We succumb to temptations. Lord, forgive us. In your mercy and love for us, do not stop working away at us. Persevere in making us understand. Again, again and again, open our eyes to the true values of the kingdom. How precious it is. Continue to reveal yourself, teach us, and call us to participate in your work in the world. And together we join in the prayer taught by Jesus himself, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Shine, 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 shine first reading this morning is taken from Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. The next reading is from Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verses 31 to 33, and then 44 to 52. Matthew 13, verse 31. The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Going to verse 44. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is let down into a lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it to the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the basket, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of age. Angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy words. We will now sing the hymn, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind.
Jesus, the true and ever-still.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of us all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through this earthly life and still keep our eyes on the eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A woman baking, a farmer sowing, a fisherman at his nets. These are all pictures that we can just as easily bring to mind today. All the parables of Jesus were based on what was familiar to his listeners. For him, the story of the woman cooking may well have been one of the most personal of all the parables. As a boy, Jesus would have watched his mother prepare the bread for the family. The women in the crowd, by the way, would have twigged right away that the bread was being prepared for a family far bigger than normal. Today, we accept this link between the kingdom of heaven and the yeast, simply as a good metaphor. At the time, however, yeast, or leaven, as it was in the King James Bible, was almost always connected to something with an evil influence or something dead and rotting. By using these two contrasting ideas, Jesus would have surprised his audience and had their undivided attention. The whole point of the parable, of course, is the transforming power of the yeast. The introduction of the yeast transforms the bread into something tasty, something good to eat, something that sustains life. In the same way, Jesus was saying that the coming of the kingdom of God would transform our lives. Paul uses the same metaphor in his first letter to the Corinthians. He also lists some of the many sins open to us, and then goes on to say, some of you were like that. Those Corinthians had been changed. Changed by their dedication to God, changed by Jesus. We must never underestimate that power of Jesus to raise those that have fallen, to help those who are sorely tempted, to make the worst of us good. The kingdom of God works unseen. Just as we may not be able to see the yeast at work in the dough, we cannot see the true extent of the work of the kingdom of God. This is a great message of encouragement for us today. The kingdom is at work in the world, and it is drawing the world ever nearer to God. We must take the long view. We must not compare things the way they are today with the way they were last year, or even the way they were 30 or more years ago. As it has been through the generations and has been handed on to us today, it is our responsibility, our duty, and indeed our privilege to do everything we can to help the people hear the truth of Jesus. We must take heart and be encouraged that the kingdom of God is still moving forwards. I'm told that there are more Christians in the world today than there have ever been. So we must ask ourselves, in the face of all that the church that we know and love is facing, what more can we do to take Jesus to our communities? What is God calling us to do in this year of 2020? The kingdom of God works unseen, but it is equally true to say that the kingdom of God works in plain sight. Just as the yeast turns the dough from a passive lump into a bubbling mass, the influence of the kingdom can be a violent and disturbing force. We read in the book of Acts that when the Christians arrived in Thessalonica, the locals complained, "These men have caused trouble everywhere. And now they've come to our city." rulers of the temple crucified Jesus because he was disrupting the way things had been. He was challenging traditions and practices, challenging things that had diverted people on their journey towards the kingdom of God. This is just as true today. The church and all followers of Jesus must look at today's society and ask, does this ring true with the love and the compassion that Jesus showed? There is nothing, nothing in this world so disturbing, so demanding, so exciting, and yet so fresh and so different as the message of our Lord. In Matthew 14, at verse 44, we heard, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Now, at that time, there were in existence a kind of savings banks, but there was an old Palestinian saying that there was only one safe place for money in the earth. It was quite common, for example, in the parable of the talents, the lazy servant hid the money in the ground. It is no surprise to realise that the Holy Land is one of the most fought over countries in the world. In 2011, a group of us were gathered at Ha'ilah, the site where David killed Goliath. Over the centuries, there have been more than 20 battles fought in the same valley. Frequently, it has to be said, with a victory to the visiting army. It became a regular practice, therefore, for people to bury their valuables in the ground before they took flight. The hope was that one day they would return. They could then retrieve their buried treasures, as well as the traditional gold, silver and coins. The buried treasure could include all kinds of things like cutlery and furniture. Now, under the Jewish law of the time, whoever found something, whether it was buried treasure or just scattered fruit, it belonged to the finder. In this light, some men actually took up the occupation of treasure seeker. If the man in this parable was indeed one of those treasure seekers, then it would have been no accident that he found the treasure. He would have worked long, back-breaking hours in the hot sun to dig down far enough to uncover what he found. Imagine then the real and unconfined joy he would feel at his discovery. That kind of joy should be reflected in our discovery of an even greater treasure, the love of Jesus and the promise of the kingdom to come. The man in the story happily sold everything he owned to secure the prize for which he worked. He had made doubly sure by buying the whole lot. Given the chance, are we willing to do the same? It's worth also taking a moment to note where this man found his much desired treasure. It was not in the great temple in Jerusalem. It was not in learned discussion with the rabbis. It was not when following the strict rituals demanded by his religion. It was when he was going about his normal, everyday work. It would be a great sadness and a great wrong if we only felt close to God in church or at particular holy places. True happiness, true satisfaction, the sense of God and the presence of Christ himself are found in the everyday things of our life. Our worship is at its peak when we allow ourselves to be used by God in our everyday moments. Matthew 13, verse 52, Jesus says that every teacher of the law who has been taught about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Every one of the disciples whom Jesus had called to follow him brought with them a lifetime's variety of skills, knowledge, and understanding. Jesus was using their own backgrounds to build on the things he was teaching them. All of the disciples came to Jesus with a wealth of experience which stretched across occupations and status in society. Jesus intended the disciples to use what they had in a new way. Jesus is not asking us to give up all our existing knowledge and experiences when we follow him. Rather, we must use what we have in a new way. When we do that, our heavenly treasure will grow beyond belief. Jesus does not ask that our gifts are buried or ignored or somehow become irrelevant. Everyone who comes to Jesus comes with some gift and with some ability. He wants us to use our experiences and our expertise. Just because we are Christian does not have to mean that we have to give up earthly things. Jesus does not ask us to withdraw from the world. Quite the opposite. Jesus wants us to praise God in whatever we do, whether we're in education, in business, in entertainment, in retirement, or at home. We should celebrate God in what we do. Jesus did not come to empty life, but to fill it. Not to impoverish life, but to enrich it. We can be the yeast which Jesus uses to challenge, to excite, and to transform. We can help other people to find the wonderful treasure that we possess, knowledge of Jesus. We are called on to go out and bring in the good and the bad, so that everyone can come to know the grace of God. We can go to where people are, in the shops, in the workplaces, in the neighbouring streets, to tell them the message of Jesus. Jesus is asking that we give him the chance to use our gifts, our talents, and our experiences even more wonderfully. We will be using them in the light that he has given us. Knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let us take a moment in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we place our trust in your grace. We rely entirely on your mercy, and we find our love, our hope in your love. We commit ourselves so to live, act, and speak that others in turn will give you the thanks and the praise. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may walk with you all our days, and at the end, rest in your presence and give you the glory. Amen. Our next hymn this morning, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood?"
together in prayer. First, let us thank God for all that he gives us and dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your calls to discipleship, fellowship, and service, to sharing as your people in the work of your kingdom. We thank you that you call us as we are, with all our faults, weaknesses, and doubts, accepting us not through our own deserving, but through your grace, your love, and your mercy. Above all, we thank you for the inner presence of your Holy Spirit, through which Christ is constantly at work with us, moving deep within to change our lives and to draw us ever closer to you. Loving God, receive our praise, receive our offerings of service, receive our offerings of money, receive our offerings of self. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us turn to our prayers for others and the world. Let us pray. Loving God, we bring before you the sick and suffering of our world. We pray for those afflicted in body, racked by physical pain, wrestling with disease, enduring painful surgery, or coming to terms with terminal illness. We pray for those disturbed or troubled in mind, those whose confidence has been crushed, those no longer able to cope with the pressures of daily life, those oppressed by false terrors of the imagination, and those facing the dark despair of depression. We pray for those afflicted in spirit, all who feel their lives to be empty, or whose beliefs are threatened, or who have lost their faith, or who have become caught up in superstition. Living God, reach out through all who work to bring wholeness and healing. Support and strengthen them in their work. Grant them wisdom and guidance, strength and support, and the ability to minister something of your care and compassion to all. Lord Jesus Christ, you spoke and you brought hope, comfort, and renewal. You touched and you brought love, peace, healing, and wholeness. Come now and speak again, bringing your word of life to all who suffer or are hurting. Reach out afresh, bring your touch of love to all whose hearts are aching and who cry out for help. Where there is despair and turmoil, may your voice renew. Where there is pain and sickness, may your hand restore. Lord Jesus Christ, you came once, you shall come again, but we ask you, come now and minister your grace for your name's sake. Amen. Our next and final hymn will be I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I'm not afraid to die.
whatever we do not face it alone. However we suffer, we do not bear it alone. Wherever we go, we do not journey alone. We go forwards in peace, in hope and faith. We go out and forwards with joy, with love and with good news for all. And the blessing of God the Father, Son and Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.